So this morning, I just wanted to share. I asked Pastor if I could have a couple of minutes just to kind of exhort you, to encourage you, and to remind you of something I feel led of the Lord to do. You know, back at toward the end of 2018, the Lord began, he really just said something to me kind of quickly about the remnant church and kind of the distinction between the nominal church and the remnant church. And so at the beginning of 2019, I kind of said something about that, really kind of just in passing, a quick comment about what the Lord had said, not really a focus. But, you know, as the year went on, the Lord began to really connect with me about remnant, what it really is to be remnant, a remnant church and a remnant people. And toward the end of 2019, I felt instructed by the Lord that this was no longer just something between him and me, that it was something for the people. And so I began to preach about it, talk about it. And as I did, you know, there was such a charge of the Lord in this hour about being a remnant church, about being remnant people. I mean, there was such a strong urge from the Lord and a charge in this season to know what it is to be remnant, what the remnant church really is, and how God needs the remnant to be alive and functioning and working. And when I began to preach that message, I thought I would preach just a couple of messages. But you know, I preached 6 messages on remnant, one of the longest series that I've ever preached, because there was such a strong connection to the Lord in it. So this past Wednesday, I went home after work to prepare for church Wednesday night, and I was standing at my kitchen cabinet grabbing a quick, I don't know if you would call it a very, very late lunch or a very early dinner, but I was grabbing a quick something, and all of a sudden the Lord said something to me. And I mean, when he said it, it was as clear as a bell. And he said, I had you preach on bringing a remnant church and living as remnant people at the very specific time that you did in preparation for this season. The Lord was preparing us. He was preparing us. God knows what's coming, and he always prepares his people. He said, you know, I'd never really thought about it at that time, why it was that for so long it was going on in me, but it was not coming out before the people. But God said he did it at a specific time to prepare us for a specific season. So that was Wednesday. Well, I said, well, thank you, Lord. So then Friday I was sitting at church at work in my office, and the Lord spoke again. And the minute he spoke, it was as if he had connected the sentence that he had said on Wednesday. It was like there had not been a space and time. It was instantly, I knew right where he was at. And this is what he said. He said, spiritually, there is much going on and much to come. In this season, like never before and more than ever before, you must be a remnant church and live as remnant people. Tell the people I'm counting on them as the remnant. Tell them to rise up and to live up to who they are. And as they do, I will take them through from faith to faith, from strength to strength, and from glory to glory. For the best is yet to come. The Lord said, I said, the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. So we are prepared in this season to go through and to access the best of what God has designated for us. Hallelujah. These are good days and these are great days. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, God said, tell the people. And so I'm telling the people. I'm telling everybody hearing this today that God's counting on you as the remnant. Come on, there's some qualities, some characteristics, some things about remnant people that set us apart. Amen. We are going to be the ones to be God's instruments and let God work through us and bring his glory even in the midst of trouble and in the midst of perilous times. You know, I'm always reminded that always throughout the church days, in the times of difficult times and dark days, the church always rose to the occasion. Hallelujah. Come on, we're going to be those that are going to rise in this hour. And this morning as I got up and was thinking about what the Lord was talking about here, I was reminded of a particular part of that series that I preached on remnant people in part 2 about Gideon. And it was about Gideon, what the Lord was going to use him to go into war, into battle, and to defeat an enemy. But the Lord could not allow anybody that had fear to go into the battle. He basically said, if you've got fear, you're not prepared. You're not prepared for the battle. And I just know, I know spiritually that in this hour, a spirit of fear has been released in the earth. I think in a measure different than ever before. And the spirit of fear has overtaken many people. And I know that even though the coronavirus has been what I see as the platform for the spirit of fear to be loosed in this capacity, it will not stay in just that arena. The spirit of fear that is out there is looking like a roaring lion, seeking whom it may devour, looking to get into anyone's life in any arena, in any area possible. Listen, this is time as remnant people to make sure that we do not have fear. We cannot allow fear of any shape, any form to exist in our life. We must rise up in faith. We must take a bold, a courageous, I'm talking about a radical, I'm talking about a fierce stance against fear. We must be the people in this hour that will not cower back, that will not back down. This is what the Lord is counting on. He's counting for a church, a people that are fearless. Hallelujah. He's looking to us. This is the hour. We're prepared for it. All along, we've been prepared. You know, come on, one of our signature things is about what? The goodness of God. At Houston Faith Church, we are defenders of the goodness of God. We are preachers of the goodness of God. We will not cower to the fact that God is doing this in any way, shape, or form to teach the church something or to cause something to happen. We are also signature in that we live by faith and not by fear. We eradicate fear at all times and all ways. And this is the hour. So we cannot go into any battle with fear and expect to win. And listen, when the Lord says he's got great things for us, he's got the best yet to come. Yes. Come on, we access those things. We receive those things. We gain those things by our faith. So it's not always just the battle of defeating the enemy, although we do. But it's just the battle of our faith standing secure and being big enough and open enough and wide enough to receive, even in this day, that God has something good. God has something better. God has the best things we've not yet seen, things we've not yet heard. And we're contending for those things. So, like Gideon, we must be fully submitted and fully surrendered in this hour. God has called us as remnant, and we will be the remnant people, and we will secure the best that God has to come for us. Amen. Amen.
Romans chapter 8. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit today, because what happens even in the midst of all the life changes and all the circumstantial stuff that needs to occur. Hey, listen, the Holy Spirit is really everything to us. He's still everything to us. More than all of our rationale and more than all of our logical reasoning and all that kind of stuff. And even more than our statistics, it's the Holy Spirit that really is the difference maker. Amen. Really, he's the difference maker. Of course, God is the difference maker and Jesus is but the Holy Spirit is the one connected inside you right now. God, through his Spirit, is connected to you, but his Spirit is the difference maker in life. So let's read this here. Romans chapter 8. Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." So if you want to be called a son of God or access the beauty of being a son of God, you have to be led by the Spirit of God. That means you're going to have a relationship with the Spirit. That means you're going to have to get up in the morning and think about the Spirit. Amen. Then you're going to have to follow the Spirit. You're going to have to side with the Spirit. You're going to have to be comforted by the Spirit. It's all about the Holy Spirit. Amen. I said it's all about the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're going to have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That's an interesting combination. So you got the spirit of adoption, which is from God. He has no fear. He said you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. The Holy Spirit is your fear replacement.
Amen.
And if you're a Christian, you need to know that the Holy Spirit is our difference maker. He's the one. The Holy Spirit is our difference maker in every aspect of life.
Amen.
Because of Him, you don't have to have fear. Listen, the Christian does not sit there going, I'm not going to fear. I don't want to fear. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be afraid. You look kind of scared right there. Listen, the Holy Spirit, if you'll get full of Him, He'll displace the fear.
Amen.
You received Him, not the spirit of bondage. Fear gives way to bondage. Anything you're afraid of puts you in bondage to it. Okay, we know this, and I know everybody's preaching on fear these days, but hey, I'm trying to get us to the very solution. Of course, God has said, you know, hundreds of times in the Bible, do not fear, do not be afraid, fear not. He said that. But you need a couple other things to make sure you don't.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. With the Holy Spirit, you can simply say, okay, I won't.
Amen.
And I realize that through this crisis in the world, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, I'm not afraid for myself. But what are you afraid of? Then what are you afraid for? That means you can't be afraid for your family's sake. You can't be moved by fear in order to protect children or family or loved ones or grandparents or anything like that. You can't be moved by fear. Well, I don't want to get, you look kind of scared.
Wow.
Be honest. I mean, be honest. Look, I'm serious about these things. I'm honest with these things. I mean, let's be honest with the Bible. Let's be honest. Let God's word get in there and really check mark your boxes.
Amen.
You did not receive the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. That's exciting.
Yes.
Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Just let me skip a lot of the meat of chapter 8, but get down to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You know, this list of things most Americans they have never been in this type of world. In the medieval times, in the old days, in the uncivilized days compared to what we know today, this was natural. Distress and persecution and tribulation and peril and nakedness and sword, that was like commonplace. We got cushy. Life got cushy in the past 120 years. Okay? This is our chance to make sure we're this type of a Christian. Nothing going to separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing separates from the Spirit of God and the goodness of God. Nothing separates us from who we are as believers in Christ. Nothing. As it is written, for your sake we're killed all day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. He's talking about those spreading the gospel go through a lot more peril. Those who've committed to lead go through a lot more peril. Those who've committed to the Lord to get God or Jesus to another person go through a lot more. Yet in all things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. So you're not just a conqueror, you're more than a conqueror. Listen, every Christian is more than a conqueror, okay? Every single believer is more than a conqueror. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Hallelujah.
Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, says, inasmuch then as the children of God, have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death, through Jesus' death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So Jesus destroyed him who had the power of death. The devil had the power of death. Jesus destroyed him.
Amen.
And that's why death has no sting.
Amen.
So being afraid of death is not smart. Where does your Christianity begin and end? Can your Christianity read past verse 14? Being afraid of death is not part of a Christian's life. It has no sting. Being afraid of death of any sort will put you in bondage. Being afraid of death of anybody that you know will put you in bondage. I just refuse it. You know, every time I do a funeral, I express how angry I am at death, how mad I get at this world and the evil and the darkness and the curse that kills people. It's okay to be mad at death, but don't you be afraid of it. Verse 15, and Jesus dying, and released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Christians who are full of the Holy Spirit make different decisions. That's why we need Christians in leadership positions. They make different decisions.
Amen.
Now, in a world crisis, it's difficult because of the peer pressure from nation to nation, government to government, state to state, mayor to county judge. Lots of pressure. So I know it's difficult. But when Jesus comes back, we're going to rule this land in righteousness. And it'll be okay. And we'll do it right. Until then, we'll just make it through. Until then, nothing's going to separate us from God. Nothing will separate us from the love of Jesus. Nothing's going to separate us from the love of each other. I do encourage everybody. Everybody during this time, stay connected to Christians.
Amen.
I hope you have some Christian friends, even at Houston Faith Church, or somebody close to you that's a Christian, that you can have Christian fellowship.
Amen.
Not just let's watch a movie fellowship, which is not so bad sometimes, and share your popcorn 6 feet away. I mean, anyway. I'm talking about Christian fellowship where it's around Jesus Christ and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
And those that aren't happy get prayed for. And then get happy. And we get ministered to each other. Encourage one another. Sharpen one another. Bless one another. But Jesus' death released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I'm going to tow my rope about not being moved and subject to the bondage that this thing causes. I know that online, you're shouting and hooping and hollering in your homes and all excited about Jesus Christ. I went out and looked at our parking lot here, and we could actually have church parking lot. I mean, we could have parking lot church here if we wanted to, but I think as soon as the asphalt's poured, man, we're coming to church.
Yeah.
And you can come sit in your car and listen on the radio. We'll get an FM transmitter, and we're going to have some friends that have done this, and we can all turn the lights on. If you like what's being said, you keep your lights on. If you're mad at the pastor, turn your lights off. If you're real fired up about the word, honk your horn. I had some of my pastor friends, they did an altar call. They said, if you want to receive Jesus, we'll have an usher come to your car window and give you something and pray with you. Turn on your lights. And so lights went on. That's cool, man. That's cool. I told him, I said, hey, can I borrow your parking lot? We don't have one yet. But you never know. So after the third, we'll see what happens around here. But we'll make sure we're getting to do what we got to do.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 2. Feels like we've already had church. Y'all ready to go home? Oh, wait, you're already home. So is don't have to hurry up now. We can preach all morning, right? We ought to at least preach it longer than a movie. We ought to preach at least longer than, you know, 45 YouTube videos that you've been flipping through. Longer than one video game session. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I said yesterday on the video announcement, make sure you're staying full of the Spirit through this time. Don't just let your flesh get out of control. Don't let your flesh dominate you for 2 weeks. Boy, you'll have a rough season. You'll have a rough time after this, and it'll feel like, how come it doesn't feel normal? Well, your spirit got little depleted. So don't let your spirit get depleted. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. No, not verse 17. Even though we're not peddling the Word of God. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Do y'all know that? He always leads us in triumph.
He does.
I said He always leads us in triumph. You got to know that He always leads you in triumph. So if triumph is on the horizon, then you're following Jesus. If you're not feeling like there's any triumph, then you're not following Him. How can you be so sure? Because He said He leads us always in triumph. So let's be real about this. Triumph is our future. Ultimately, for eternity, yes, but also in life. In every stage of life, in every step, in every coming thing, we're led in triumph. No matter how weird it looks, everything's all right. He always causes us to triumph.
Amen.
And through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. All of a sudden, it's not about you anymore. All of a sudden, it's not about you just coming out ahead. All of a sudden, it's not about just you having your stuff taken care of. All of a sudden, it's about you being the spray bottle of the fragrance of God.
Yeah.
Through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge. You know, you got a can of air freshener. What do? You spread all over so that people that enter or get near, they smell something. You and I are what people are supposed to be smelling. Through us, He diffuses His fragrance of knowledge. If you're not around, nobody's smelling anything good. And if you're around and silent, they're still not. Now, part of your Christian witness is to put a smile on your face and be nice. But part of your Christian witness is to give some knowledge when it's necessary.
Yes.
When there's opportunity. When the Spirit leads.
Amen.
Without us, nobody's smelling God at all.
Yeah.
I know that sounds a little weird, but he started it. He talked about His fragrance getting spread around the earth. It's better than leaven. Fragrance, perfume smells seems a lot better than the analogy of leavens. But the gospel is like leaven. You put it in, man, it's going to spread.
Amen.
The real gospel will not die.
Amen.
I don't care how squished it might get or how persecuted people might be, but the gospel will spread.
Yes.
We are the diffuser of the fragrance.
Amen.
Verse 15, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We are the fragrance of Christ to the saved and the unsaved. And that's why Christians need to smell each other. It's part of how this supernatural thing works. Verse 16, to the one, we are the aroma of death. When was the last time they read this on TV? Or in church? To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death. What? What does that mean? And to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. Hallelujah. If you receive Jesus, it's going to smell good to you. If you don't receive Jesus, it ain't going to smell good. And that's life. Skip to chapter 3, verse 2. You are our epistle. Now he's writing to the church at Corinth, talking to Christians, saying, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle, a letter of Christ, ministered by us. So Paul's saying Christ has formed in them so that they became a letter that somebody could read. Ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit. There it is, the Spirit. None of this works without the Spirit forming Christ within you. By the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, on the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Skip to verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. So we're back to the Spirit. Where He is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. In your Christian growth, in your Christian development, no matter what stage you're in, the goal is to be transformed from glory to glory into His image. The audio Bible school that we did 10 years ago, hundreds of Bible school type messages, was called From Glory to Glory. That's always been my thought, transformed from glory to glory. Experiencing God's glory helps you get transformed into the image of Christ. You must do this with purpose so that you're transformed. You must experience God's glory. As a Christian, you must be experiencing God's glory. You should look for it. You should look for the glory of God. You should look for the moments of the Holy Spirit interacting with you. You should have those. You should make those. Yes. How do you make those? Amen. You walk closely, you listen closely, you obey quickly.
Yes.
Chapter 4, verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Not of us. Verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed.
Amen.
We are perplexed, but not in despair.
Amen.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Amen.
Struck down but not destroyed.
Yes.
Sounds like a song. I think I'm going to write a song on this. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. What does that mean? That means we're dead to self. So whatever we're feeling and doing and thinking and reacting is not about ourself. We're dead to self. Skip to verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Don't ever lose heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't ever lose heart.
Amen.
Don't ever lose heart for any reason. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Amen.
While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, this is a good reminder that the things that we see around us aren't so important after all. That's not total reality.
Amen.
Reality TV would have to be in the supernatural realm for it to be true reality. True reality can't be seen with the physical eye or heard with the physical ear. True reality is elsewhere.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. Why are you reading so much scripture? Why not? What else are you going to do at home? You know, we don't do fancy stuff around here. I think this is the best time to be reading Scripture. This is the best time not to hear how we can package some truth. This is just let the Word of God get in there and pierce you and enlighten you and comfort you and awaken you and fill you with joy and life once again. Listen, you can get inspiration from books and from, you know, various types of teachings and preachings, but revelation comes from the Word.
Amen.
My words are spirit and life.
Yes.
And that's why we're not afraid to use more than two or three scriptures a service. And I know most churches aren't. I'm just saying, you know, you need that. That's church.
Amen.
I don't need to wear a costume to get you interested about the gospel.
Praise the Lord.
I know this white jacket kind of looks like a costume, but it's clean. Did I read all of verse 1? Yeah. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, not because we want to die. So don't be thinking, oh, I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. But further clothed. So you're not just trying to escape something bad. The whole idea is that there's something glorious coming. Glory to God, I can't wait till He comes. Rather than, yeah, I just wish Jesus would come get me out of here. You don't look very happy about it. See how you can flip things? You flip your attitude, turn it into faith rather than just natural carnal grumbling. Not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us Spirit as a guarantee. There He is again. Listen, God's prepared you to make it through this life.
Hallelujah.
And He's given you the Holy Spirit as the guarantee that everything's okay.
Glory.
So you cannot just sit around in this time thinking, well, I just hope everything's okay. He's given you the Spirit so that you know.
That's
everything's okay. The Holy Spirit is the replacement for fear and natural carnal thinking. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is the only way that you can not be a grumbler and complainer at your house. I know families are having to get used to living together again. Enjoy it. Enjoy the ride. Amen. Through the Spirit. Amen. There's probably been more arguments of how to place the dishes in the dishwasher than ever before. So we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Of course, this context is talking about our eternal comfort and confidence. But hey, the Holy Spirit will help you get confident anytime. The Holy Spirit is the only reason you can be confident. I mean, Him, the Spirit and the Word go together, but the Spirit of God in you is what keeps the feeling there. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Only the Holy Spirit can keep your faith solid. And that's why you build up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Only the Holy Spirit can keep the knowledge that you have alive in you. You have knowledge, that means you have some faith. And we don't walk by sight, we don't walk by feeling. So when I say feeling, I'm talking about the spiritual knowing. The spiritual feeling. Not the natural senses, not the natural sight or the natural feeling or the natural reasoning. I'm talking about the spiritual knowing, the spiritual assurance is how we make it. So really, this world event doesn't really change anything in us. Okay? Don't let it. Of course, most everybody's feeling that way so far. So far, with a couple weeks, everybody's feeling still secure. Just stay prepared. He prepared us for this very thing, gave us the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, we're prepared. Christians are prepared if you stay close to the Holy Spirit, no matter how long it takes. And through it, we'll keep praying. It looks like prayer has done some things. It looks like we've put our foot down on this thing. It looks like that. Let's stick it out. Expect the devil doesn't get to destroy people. I refuse to let the devil destroy people. The attitude is we're not going to let the devil destroy this world. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.